Good afternoon, and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent, and I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. The USDA reports that the average age of farmers and ranchers in the United States continues to rise, resulting in growing concerns about far fewer, if any, young people ready to take their place and provide the food this country will need to sustain itself in the long term. A new agricultural training program at Cal Poly hopes to help meet this need and more, and is the topic of today's discussion on Central Coast Voices. We'll be learning more about Cal Poly's FEED, Farmer Experiential Education and Development. Had it first the right time. That's FEED, Farmers Experiential Education and Development, and how this program is especially designed to educate our veterans and members of the underserved communities in sustainable agriculture, providing healing and hope along the way. My guests are Dr. Brian Teege, Vice Provost of International Graduate and Extended Education at California Polytechnic State University, otherwise known as Cal Poly. I love the way I always have this written out for me, and I go, gosh, that sounds a lot like Cal Poly. And the FEED Program Director, Morgan Boyd, is FEED Program Manager, and he's here with us. And Morgan is also the owner of Pepper Creek Family Farm. And Eric Boyd, FEED Program Instructor of Soils and Environmental in Agricultural Systems. Today's show is live, and we invite you to also join our discussion with your comments and questions. And you can do that pretty easily by calling us at 805-781-3875. Once again, that's 781-3875. And gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate this. This is an exciting program. I'm wanting to hear a lot more about it. So I'm curious how you guys even thought of doing this and kind of what motivated that.
Well, first of all, thanks for having us on here.
You're welcome.
And so I'll just tell kind of a brief history of it, and really Morgan's the inspiration behind it and provides the resolve and all the dedication to it. But Morgan came to me as a graduate student at Cal Poly, actually, and one of his professors had recommended that he come over to talk to me because in extended education at Cal Poly, we're kind of the innovators, the entrepreneurs of education. We develop programs that are somewhat non-traditional at times. And so Morgan pitched me on this idea of a program to help veterans and others in underserved communities get their start in agriculture. And I had always been looking for opportunities for Cal Poly to support our veterans community more. We've made some major strides under the leadership of President Armstrong and Provost Inzfinken and Vice President of Student Affairs Keith Humphrey. But this was an opportunity to really design a program for that purpose. And so Morgan and I started on that process, and a couple years later, we're excited that we're nearing the point of launching the program and having our first cohort.
Morgan, from you, I mean, what kind of prompted you to say, okay, I need to see about doing something about this vision?
Yeah, so it's been a really long journey for me, and how I what the genesis of this program is all about. It kind of started as part of my own journey, leaving the military after 12 and a half years and having quite a hard time getting back into my community. I call the Central Coast my home. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised here, and I love this area, but still after such a long time away from home, it was hard to kind of get back into the swing of things. I found great comfort in working back on my family's farm, Pepper Creek Farm, and because of that, I kind of wanted to share that with other veterans. And kind of as I was going through the process of getting out of the service and getting back into the farm, I got connected with an organization called the Farmer Veteran Coalition, which is probably the leading organization in the country that's dedicated towards bringing veterans into the field of agriculture. And I realized that there's a great need to provide training for our men and women who want to move into the agricultural industry. And from that kind of started this seed of what has eventually become the feed program at Cal Poly.
And how about for you, Eric? I mean, I'm assuming it wasn't just because Morgan said do it.
Yeah, well, I was farming back in 2012, right after graduating from Cal Poly with my degree in soil science. I began farming, and when Morgan got out in, 2014, he came on, and I was finding a lot of therapy out of it. It's just wonderful to wake up in the morning and get outside, and you're just always busy, and it's it just keeps your mind in the right place. And so when Morgan got out, we started farming together, and from there we decided that, you know, we just thought of all these different ideas and started dreaming up ways of how we could teach other people how to start a family farm, get them away from some of the big pitfalls that you can fall into when you're beginning an operation, and, you know, get them off on the right foot.
Now, your family's been in farming business. Or no?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Real quick, I think it should be mentioned that Eric is also a veteran. We joined the Army together back in 2001, and actually went through basic training together. We deployed to Iraq together, mm-hmm. So we both have a lot of very similar experiences. He got out of the Army sooner than I did. I continued on with my career, but yes, going back to your question. Our family's been operating a Pepper Creek farm for 22 years now, roughly.
Yeah, right around there.
Right around 22 years. My mom is the San Luis Obispo Farmers Market Association manager. Mm-hmm. And so we grew up around the farmers market scene from the time we were very young. And it's just something that we kind of always had in us. I don't think either of us, when we went into the military, thought that we'd be moving back into the field of agriculture.
To farm.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of ran from it, I guess, but there's something that drew us back to it, and we love it.
You use the words healing.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think that I have a sense that that's got some power here too.
It has tremendous power,
yeah.
And the VA is actually studying that right now, trying to determine the beneficial aspects of agriculture in a more of a qualitative aspect, because it's hard to quantify, you know, healing for a person through agriculture. And they're finding that a lot of veterans are finding great peace and solace and going back to the dirt, as I like to say, and
yeah.
Getting their hands dirty again. It's something that really resonates with our veterans. And I think they're tremendous candidates for moving into the field of agriculture.
What were you doing in the military?
Eric and I both started out as cavalry scouts in the United States Army,
okay.
Reconnaissance guys.
Yeah.
I moved on and eventually became an officer. Had a reconnaissance, surveillance, and target acquisition platoon as a platoon leader in Afghanistan in 2009-2010. And then I switched into military intelligence. And that's when I finally said, you know what, Army, why don't we start fixing some of my injuries? And they just decided that it was better to medically retire me instead of keep me around. So it was a little bitter at first.
Yeah.
But now that I look back on it, it's probably one of the best things that's ever happened to me. I thought I was going to spend 20 years in the military, but I'm entirely grateful for my military service and the time that I spent in, but I'm also very happy to be home again.
Yeah. And Eric, you talked about, I mean, with soils, you can't get, I mean, focusing on soils is no, you couldn't get any deeper into focusing on the earth, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what really spoke to me about, I came back after my second tour. My first was a rough one. We were in Iraq with the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment. I took a bullet in the leg on the first tour, and I went back for that tour, finished it up. Then I went to a second tour, and after going through that one, I decided this isn't for me anymore. I don't want to be in combat anymore, and so I was I left the military after that. Came back and was just looking for what to do at first. There was nursing, but too many bodily fluids, I found out pretty quick in my studies,
yeah,
so I wanted
to
stay away from that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so I decided, I was looking at Cal Poly's catalog, and as soon as I saw soils, it just spoke to me. And it does for everyone in the soils program. We're a very tight-knit little group, and I think it just speaks to you when you read about what you're going to be studying.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about this. This comes from a place for veterans and healing and looking at a new career. And then also matching up, Brian, with really a need for our country in terms of what's happening with farming industry, because there's growing evidence that, unlike you guys who are kids of a farming family, those more and more kids of farming families are not choosing farming, right?
That's correct. And in fact, it turns out, and this is somewhat tangential to our conversation, but I'm a farm boy from Ohio myself, so the opportunity to actually apply my work to something that is in my roots as well is quite enjoyable. And as you know, we have one of the best ag schools in the entire country at Cal Poly. So it's a great opportunity for Cal Poly to support its own community. This program is really a community-based program. I mentioned to you the acknowledgments list is so long because there are so many people at Cal Poly and in our community, elected representatives and so on, who have been part of making this successful.
And this is a private-public collaboration, correct? Can you talk a little bit about what that collaboration has been?
Yeah, so the neat thing about Cal Poly Extended Education is we have a lot of flexibility in how we deliver programs. So our role is to allow individuals to have access to Cal Poly's outstanding faculty and resources and facilities, but through methods that are different than the very traditional four-year bachelor's degree or two-year master's degrees. So we build programs that sometimes are shorter in nature or different in nature, and then we work with outside entities. And so in this case, we've already secured one grant from the USDA Farm Service Agency, another grant from the California State University Commission for Extended Education. We are very grateful. We have an anonymous donor who's supporting this initial cohort with scholarship funds to help them afford it. We have a great team at Cal Poly Extended Education, and there's just people all over campus in our community that have supported this. And it's not the traditional thing that Cal Poly typically does, but it's the right thing to do, and it's the people that we want to support and serve.
Well, I'm going to just take a moment to take a break, and I want to get back and talk more about the program, about the details. You're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX Public Supported Radio for the Monterey to Ventura County. Our topic today is FEED, Farmer Experiential Education and Development. And my guests for today's show are Dr. Brian Teagy, Vice Provost of International Graduate and Extended Education at Cal Poly, and FEED Program Director Morgan Boyd, FEED Program Director and owner of Pepper Creek Family Farm, and Eric Boyd, FEED Program Instructor of Soils in Environmental and Agricultural Systems. Your voice today can be part of our conversation. And this show is live. We're taking calls. We'd like to hear your comments or your questions, and you can do that by calling us at 781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875. You mentioned this is a non-traditional program, so it's not a four-year degree. Talk a little bit about what the structure of the program is.
So the participants in the program will earn academic credit. There are four courses that are built into the program. So these are Cal Poly courses from the Cal Poly catalog taught by Cal Poly faculty. And so the students, the participants, will receive that credit on a transcript. But they're not what we would call matriculated students at Cal Poly. They haven't been admitted to Cal Poly. They aren't pursuing a formal degree. Mm-hmm. So I think most of the participants, and Morgan knows them far better than I, their path here is not necessarily going to be to pursue a degree, especially at this point in time. They don't have the time or resources or intent to do that. So this is a classic example of what Cal Poly Extended Education can do, which is you can take a few courses there and pull these together into a distinct set of learning competencies that then you can take to get started in your pursuit of a career in agriculture.
Okay. Morgan, what is the program? What kind of components does the program have? What can somebody If you wanted to describe the program, how would you describe it?
So the program is a 12-week intensive foundational agricultural training program. We fully understand that it's difficult to make farmers in 12 weeks. I mean, that's a challenge in and of itself. But what we intend to do, and kind of how we've structured this class, is to provide a set of very specific courses that will provide the students with that foundational knowledge so that they can continue to grow as they move through the field of agriculture. And I think that that's very important because in agriculture, at least for us, I think it's continuously changing and you should always be learning. And so to say that we're making a farmer in 12 weeks, I think would be a little disingenuous.
Right.
But what the great thing about this program is, I mean, we're here to support the students. And just really quick, we've been touching on veterans initially, but this program is also geared for members of underserved communities. And our applicants that we have to date, half of them actually are members of underserved communities that do not come from the veteran population.
That's an important point.
It is a very important point. And when we talk about members of underserved communities, we're talking about the USDA's definition of what an underserved community is. So it's a little bit different than
what is that definition?
So it's a fairly wide scale definition. Brian, would you be able to touch on that maybe?
I don't have the definition in front of me, but I think it spans gender, ethnicity, socioeconomic status. If you just think about individuals who may not always have the same opportunities for educational opportunities and support or advancement. And so, for example, farm workers or folks from different communities, low-income communities, veterans, those are the types of categories,
right.
I believe.
Right.
So, I mean, usually when you talk about underserved communities, a lot of people think lower social economic status.
Right.
And it's a little bit broader than that from the VA's definition. For instance, females are considered a historically underserved community in terms of agriculture.
Right,
farming. In farming,
yeah.
Right. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But and then it also obviously combines the members of, you know, what would be more considered traditionally lower socioeconomic
great.
Status.
And Eric, with the program, how are you guys reaching out and recruiting people?
That's all on Morgan. I don't.
That's all on Morgan. Back to you, Morgan.
Oh, I wouldn't say it's all on me. We've had a tremendous the Department of Extended Education has really spearheaded the effort for promotion of the program. And of course, I go out and conduct outreach at any event that I can, not only in our own county, but I travel throughout the state as well. If the USDA is hosting outreach events, I'm usually have a table set up there, just trying to talk to anybody that'll talk to me and just trying to, you know, put the name of the program out there and answer any questions that people might have. The Department of Extended Education has done a tremendous job. They've helped stand up a fantastic Facebook page that is really growing rapidly. You can just type in Cal Poly Feed and it'll show up. And we'd love anybody to hit the like button would be really great for us. They've produced some really great videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also had a fairly sizable amount of media coverage. Military.com put out a very nice story that had 77,000 reads in the very first day. So
wow.
We're very, very excited about that. We were recently on KSBY and the Coast News.
Uh-huh.
And there's more. I'm drawing a blank on all of them. We're getting bombarded, which is great. We love it. But promotion for the program is growing rapidly. And
do you have a date that it's going to start?
Yes. So the program is going to run, our first cohort is going to run September 5th through December 11th, I believe. So it basically maps to Cal Poly's traditional fall quarter.
Okay.
Because they are Cal Poly classes and they'll be actually on campus taking the classes and then they'll split their time in the classroom taking the courses that are part of the program, soil science, agricultural machinery safety and agribusiness, farm business management class, and then the agriculture internship class, which Morgan is teaching. That's going to be out in the field at Pepper Creek Family Farm, so they get the hands-on. As you know, Cal Poly, learn by doing is
right.
our motto and our culture. And so this program is going to be steeped in that. And so it'll run right along the side of a traditional fall quarter experience at Cal Poly, but then also have this field experience.
So this is 5 day a week program, right?
That's correct. So this is immersive. So this is intended for someone who can take a pause from what they're doing. So we recognize that that may limit who can participate, because someone's saying, well, if I need to work during the day. But we had to recognize the content that we have to cover, the learning outcomes we have to achieve to get them the right start. And so we just felt it would be better to have this intensive format so that they can focus on what they're learning here and not be distracted by whatever else might be going on.
And where are the students coming from? Where are the participants coming from?
Oh, we're so excited about where our students are coming from. We actually have a very diverse mix of students from various age ranges, from 18 to 78.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's quite exciting. We have somebody who's potentially coming from Texas.
Uh-huh.
We have people coming from a group of sisters from up north out of San Jose who are hoping to stand up a pistachio orchard on their family's property that's currently undeveloped, and they just need some help especially with what we're hearing from a lot of our applicants is that they need help with the business side of things. And that's why something that we've really driven home from the beginning is that we need to provide them with the foundational knowledge of agribusiness. And that's important because being a small business owner is difficult on your own, on its own, but adding a full-time agricultural job to that just adds to that extra layer of difficulty. So we want to provide them with that base knowledge.
So these people are coming from not only locally but outside the area. So are they staying in dorms, or where are they staying during that 12-week period?
Well, so the short answer to staying in the dorms is no. You may be familiar with the fact that Cal Poly is expecting we're victims of our own success.
Yes.
So it's not feasible for them to be staying on campus during fall quarter. But as Morgan can point to, some of the veterans were those who are using their GI funds can get a housing allowance, I believe.
And they can use GI funds for this, right?
Yeah, that's something
that
we haven't touched on yet. We're one of the few programs in the state and even in the country that is certified so that the veterans can apply their GI Bill benefits, which provides them with a decent housing stipend so that they can actually afford to
Wow, kudos to you for that, because that's huge to have gotten that through the VA this quickly.
I don't see how the program could exist without it, because as many people know, our veterans need help once they get out, and being able to support their education as they transition is something that's extremely important. And something else, we do have a deal with a local extended stay, Lexington Inn, just outside of, it's I believe 3 blocks from campus, and they're providing rates that are exceptionally reasonable for our students, and we're very proud to have partnered with them.
That's fantastic. That's great. Are you also looking for host families or something to take people in?
I think we'd be definitely open to that.
Okay.
And, this is the pilot phase of this program.
Sure.
When you run something for the first time, you have to go into it knowing everything's not going to be perfect,
right,
and you won't have thought through everything.
Right.
And so the idea about the housing opportunities for participants is important. And so if there are folks who would say, we'd like to support the program in the form of providing housing, that could be part of the portfolio that we offer up. And I want to make a call out. We at Cal Poly has established a Veterans Success Center, and you mentioned about how important it is to have this program certified. And I don't want to read the whole list of everyone we want to thank, but I do want to call out Michael Brennan and Stephen Chandler from Cal Poly, who are in that center, because they were instrumental in helping us get the necessary authorizations for the program to have that support.
Yeah, and that really is a very, very large a large benefit. We're going to take a call from Rob. Are you there, Rob?
I'm here.
Hi. Did you have a question or comment?
No. Morgan Boyd invited me to call in. I'm one of the veterans who's participating in the program.
Oh, great. I'm glad you called in. Morgan is too.
Hi, Rob. How's it going? nice to talk to you
great.
Again.
Great. Good to speak with you.
Yeah. So I reached out to Rob because he is one of our applicants, and him and his partner will actually be attending the program, and we're really excited to have them come up. They're out of Ventura County.
And Rob, what was it that compelled you about this program?
Well, I've been kind of getting my education around agriculture for a few years now, thanks to a lot of groups that support veterans in agriculture. And this looks to be, for my partner and I, kind of the last piece before we feel confident enough to start our own farm operation.
Have you done any farming before?
No, I haven't, outside of gardening.
Okay.
But what I have done, there was a documentary that I saw about veterans getting into agriculture called Ground Operations, Battlefields to Farm Fields. And I met the filmmaker, and she hooked me up with a farm that gave me a really great two-week course. After that, Veteran Farmers of America gave me a paid internship to learn on an alpaca farm. And since then, I've been working as a handyman on a few farms and just, you know, getting into the world, as well as the volunteering I've done in community gardens and the food pantries and the emergency food relief we have down in Ventura County. And I'm just ready to become a producer now.
That's fantastic. You know, when you talk about all of the stuff that you've done since you got out of the military, both Eric and Morgan were commenting on how important it was for them to get back to working with the earth. It sounds like that also captured you.
It did. I found myself in some pretty low points for a while. And then, you know, I read a little bit, you know, oh, there's bacteria in dirt that's good for your mood. Sure, I'll give it a try. And I started gardening. And
you got a big smile out of Eric on that. He loves that bacteria in the dirt.
Oh, I love it now, too. But it wasn't just that. It was, you know, it's all the communities of people I met who were also into gardening and food that were so supportive of me in my transition from the military back into a normal life.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I'm excited that you called, and I'm thrilled for you that you're going to be able to participate in this program. And you're going to do this on your GI Bill, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to without it.
Great. Well, best.
Yeah, we're stoked. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Rob.
Thanks for calling, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, see you soon.
All right.
That's great. Is Rob, is he really kind of an example of the other candidates that you've got coming in for the program, of that level of excitement? It was great.
I really cannot. I mean, I am so elated at the amount of motivation that the applicants have, even the ones that have contacted us that have said, you know what, we can't make it to this cohort, but we'll be able to make it to subsequent sessions potentially as well. The story is all the same, and something that Rob touched on that I kind of touched on earlier is that community reintegration is such an important piece for veterans, because they get back into their communities and they don't feel like they have a home anymore. And it's nothing that the community's done, it's just they're used to a certain way of life, but for some reason, the agricultural community it really resonates with the veterans, and you would be very surprised at the turnaround that some troubled veterans can have if they just are able to open up through agriculture.
It's
been really great.
And I think that that exists for not only veterans, but for other individuals within life that you're talking about, of being able to have a relationship with something that can be so intense and so positive. And in that, to be able to produce something, wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even for our participants that aren't veterans, you know, they find great community integration as well. When you walk down Thursday night farmers market, mm-hmm. you see the diversity of farmers that are standing behind their stands.
Yes.
And they're so connected with the community. You'll find a lot of their food on some of the best, a lot of their produce on some of the best restaurants in this community. And they're very proud of what they do. And that's something that we do at Pepper Creek. And it's something that we're very proud of as well.
Fantastic. You're listening to KCBX, your public radio station, at 90.1 FM San Luis Obispo, 91.7 FM Salinas to Paso Robles, and 89.5 FM Santa Barbara, and on the web at kcbx.org. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reported in 2012 that over 68% of agriculture industry workers are 55 and older. This creates a tremendous opportunity to initiate programs that would facilitate veterans and members of underserved communities moving into the industry as current farmers retire. Our topic for today's show is FEED, Farmer Experiential Education and Development, the first program on the Central Coast of its kind, and a collaborative effort with public and private entities that's been developed to address this concerning issue. My guests with me are Dr. Brian Teagy, Vice Provost of International Graduate and Extended Education at Cal Poly, and FEED Program Director. Morgan Boyd, FEED Program Manager and owner of Pepper Creek Family Farm, and Eric Boyd, FEED Program Instructor of Soils in Environmental and Agricultural Systems. Our phone lines are still open, and we invite you to join us today. If you have a comment or a question about today's topic, please call us at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875. And we're going to take a call here from Gina real quick. Gina.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This sounds like a really awesome program, and I'm really interested in it. Can you tell me what the qualifications are? Do I have to have finished college? Do I have to have been farming before? What is it that I need before I think about applying to this program?
So thanks for calling in, Gina. So really all that's required is a high school diploma, and I believe even a GED will suffice. Really, you don't need any agricultural background. This program is intended to be created from the ground up. But the nice thing about this program is there's, like I said, a very diverse mix of individuals joining the program, from people that have zero ag background to people that have been that are considered beginning farmers through the USDA's definition. That's anybody that's been farming within the first 5 years. And so they're going to be able to learn and grow off of each other. And plus, this is a program that's ran by farmers, market farmers, small family farmers, but we understand the challenges and the difficulties, and like Eric had mentioned, the pitfalls, the potential pitfalls of producing on a scale that we do.
I also mentioned, and Rob alluded to this as well, that we recognize that 12 weeks can be a starting point only, really, when you talk about your pathway to becoming a beginning farmer or rancher. And one of our goals is to develop opportunities, and we're having a lot of fruitful conversations with landowners and growers who are very eager to provide either mentorships or internships or even incubation farm space for folks who come out of this program. So if you think of going through 12 weeks where it's primarily the fundamentals, you get the soil science component, the agricultural machinery safety, the business agribusiness management, you get some of those principles, but then you have to apply those and learn those more. Certainly we'll do some of that through the internship, but then we recognize that you need some more time. And so what we're working on now is to have plans for folks who come out of the program to be able to move on to mentorships or internships or other opportunities so they can continue on that path.
Great. And is financial aid available?
Traditional, other than the financial aid with the GI Bill that we've mentioned, the other form right now, I mentioned credits to an anonymous donor. We do have a limited amount of scholarship funding that we're using to offset the costs of the program. And so for this first cohort, at least, we do have some availability of scholarship funds for that.
And Brian, so, what's the cost of the program?
The undiscounted cost is $6,000.
Okay.
And one of the things I should point out is that Cal Poly Extended Education is a self-support entity. So when we run programs, we have to fully account for all of the costs involved, mm-hmm. including the instructional salaries and overhead and everything like that. But we're doing our best through grants, through private donations as we've received from this generous donor and other methods to offset those costs because we recognize that folks who are probably the most interested in this are in a position where they probably can't afford a significant outlay.
And that $6,000 is the cost of the program, but not the lodging.
That's correct.
Correct.
So housing would be in addition to that.
Okay.
So thanks for your call, Gina.
Thanks, Gina.
Thank you.
And we've got a call from Bill. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You had a question or a comment?
Yeah, I've got a question. I'm a veteran myself, and I remember when I got out of Vietnam, one of the Rigettis, Fred, let me live on his land when I needed a place to live, and I'd like to return the favor to somebody else.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's awesome. Hey, Bill, thank you for your service. I'm sure Eric and I and everybody at this table, we appreciate what you've done. And we know this community is so supportive. And that's right. There's always people looking to help out our brothers and sisters in arms when they come home and try and make it here on the Central Coast. And thank you.
Okay. Well, anyway, what I'm interested in is how I could get in contact with somebody who would be willing to live on my land and help me out in exchange for a place to live.
Yeah, so one of the things I failed to mention is we have a website for the program. It's very simply the word...
You won't believe this, but I'm not on the Internet.
Well, that's all right. We can... Can we get his number off?
We can. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold, Bill, and Bree is going to pick up the line, and she'll take your information, and they'll be able to call you.
There's a lot of other people like me that are getting older and can't do all the work
on their farm, yeah.
They would be willing to teach and get these people's feet wet and...
What a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, Bill, I have some veterans that are attending this program that are potentially looking for a situation like you're talking about, and I'd love to discuss it with you later. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Don't hang up, Bill. That's wonderful, and that would be very helpful if someone had a situation like Bill's. Wonderful for him to call in. If he would, Bill, if you're still listening to this, make sure that you call back at 781-3875 to talk to Bree so that she can get your phone number. If you do have a situation where you can share housing or you want to assist someone who's coming for this program, how many students can you have in this program?
We've thinking about what it takes to teach and for the students to achieve the learning objectives and for what the faculty need to do. The number we have for kind of a maximum cohort size is about 24.
Okay.
I don't think that this first cohort will be that large. But we, one of the things about launching a new program is you never completely know how much demand there is until you offer it at least one time.
Right.
And so what we now need to figure out is to calibrate how many cohorts there's capacity for each year. And so we'll have it limited in size so that the learning can be maximized, but we do hope to meet the demand of the market.
As an instructor, Eric, in soils, how is it, what do you plan for your curriculum? Tell me a little bit about what a student would expect to learn from your experience?
Sure. So what I'm teaching, what it's going to be, my program will be based on is maintaining and improving the soil's ecosystem services. So these are things that, that soils provide for, such as ability to filter and filter water, have a buffering capacity, soil's ability to hold on to the nutrient cycle, how nutrients cycle through, why it's important to have plants always growing on a piece of land, why fallowing is never really a good idea. It's better to always have roots going through, how to improve the amount of organic matter in a soil, manage nutrients with as little inputs as possible, tillage methods that are going to help with reducing the amount of compaction or reducing the negative impacts of tillage, if possible, doing conservation tillage. So things like that. Really, you know, by the end of it, I'm going. The students will be constructing a whole soil management plan, and that will encompass all of those ecosystem services and how to maintain those, how to keep erosion from occurring, how to plant what grows well in your area, co-planting, all kinds of things that are going to help form a good soil-plant relationship and make the student's life easier.
And so you're bringing not only your experience as a farmer, because you were farming.
That's right.
Both of you guys were farming before you went off and did your service. But then you came back and got your education in soils management, correct?
I'm going through right now. I'm back at Cal Poly getting my master's degree.
Okay.
So I'm doing research through the Cal Poly Strawberry Center. And so between those two things, having the experience, and now I can really help with bringing the theory into practice.
Yeah, exactly. You'd mentioned at the start of the show that what this program offers is not having to make the same mistakes.
That's right.
That other people have had to make and maybe suffer crop loss or some of the other unfortunate circumstances. What are some of the other things that you think this program, what are some of the other learnings that this program really brings that's invaluable?
Well, I think it's having the experience to look at different cropping systems and see what speaks to you. Some people might say, well, I want to grow lettuce hydroponically, but then they actually start doing it and they don't really want to do that. It's kind of you're not really in the earth that way, but it sounds good and the profits sound good. But maybe, like for me, orchards and mm-hmm. pruning and propagation and all of that, it really speaks to me. Mm-hmm. And just having that, like having the experience to, you know, you have to think a lot of these guys are getting out of the military and now they're behind. So they're trying to kind of play catch up with those years that they've lost. And we don't want them to be experimenting. We want them to quickly, within 12 weeks, know what they want to do and really have a passion for it so that they're not changing their mind midway through.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you going to say something, Morgan?
Oh,
about the what you learn?
Well, I was just going to touch on the earlier comment about us farming before the military.
Yeah, go ahead.
We were the family labor force. I don't know that you could call us farmers when we were 15, 16 years old, but what that did is that taught us that what kind of hard work that it takes to be a family run farming operation. It is very difficult work. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's long hours, you're in the heat, you're in the cold. And then you got to go to farmer's market if you're pursuing that path. But the great thing about our veterans is that they're used to hard work and they're used to austere environments and they're used to falling down and making mistakes and dusting themselves off and moving forward. And that's something that really fits well, mm-hmm. I think, in the agricultural industry. And that's why I think so many veterans across the nation are moving into agriculture.
What do you think, you know, because you're two kids that come out of farming, what do you think makes farming unpopular? Is it the hard work or is it the long hours?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of risk associated with it. And unless you have a lot of money to back you, it's difficult to make a lot of money. And I think people, when they're, you know, 17, 18 years old, everyone's mind's like, oh, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to get this career that's going to, you know, I'm going to.
Right.
But as you get older, I think that becomes less important. and it's more important to enjoy what you do and be happy in what you do and stay connected to the community and make enough to, you know, it's possible to, of course, make a really good living farming. But I think as a kid, as a kid, that those expectations are, I'm not really sure. Morgan, maybe you can continue with that. I don't know.
Yeah, usually when you're younger and you're not necessarily sharing the profits of your family's farm, you're more the labor force.
Yeah.
You don't want to have.
You don't want to continue
well,
that.
I mean, some people certainly do, and it's something that they hold on to. But we joined the military. We joined a couple of months before 9/11. We had no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
Yeah.
We were both looking for a way to get some money for college, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And
it was a good way.
It was, except we left for basic training a week to the day after September 11th.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. And it's been a long journey for both of us. And I, like I said earlier, I know we are both very, very proud of our military service. But we didn't know what was about to happen, and in some ways we've had to pay for that in certain ways in our lives, and at least for I know for myself and Eric, I think I can speak for Eric, it's agriculture is something that's going back to the healing, it's been tremendously healing on so many different levels. It just keeps agriculture just keeps pulling us back in.
Yeah.
And
and it doesn't matter. This is less about what kind of crops people are going to choose to grow. It's really the science of it and the mechanics of it and the business of it, correct? Of farming.
That's correct. This program is going to expose the students to all types of of production, and it's really gonna it's gonna be their decision if they want to produce more conventionally or if they want to produce create an organic farm. That's
right.
We're going to show them the benefits and downfalls of all different agricultural practices and let them decide for themselves.
And that's great, because another way that a person would just learn without a program like this is by trying something and then having it flop. Which could be a very expensive flop from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you choose something. I mean, if you choose something that you grow well, that's great. But if the market's already saturated and you have nowhere to sell it, or the price is way too low for how you're going to sell it, you're in trouble. So you have to know the business side of it in terms of looking at the market and what is there a need for. And what's going to make you a living?
So talk about Morgan, the business. You're doing some of the business class.
No, I'm actually Professor Dr. Sean Hurley is doing the economics class.
Okay.
He's much more much more suited to teach it than I am.
So that's really going to be looking at what Eric's talking about, which is before you ever go into planting, first know what it is you can reasonably expect and what the return on investment will be.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we'll also expose them through the internship. They're gonna be able to see our farming operation and look at how we operate. We are a sustainable farm. We adhere to organic practices. And we have been for pretty much the entire time that we've been in operation. Our family's been in operation. But that is not necessarily the best way for, say, somebody that's going back to a 200-acre spread to farm. I mean, if that's the way they want to farm, then fantastic for them. If they want to farm conventionally, then that decision's on them. But like you were mentioning, the key to that is identifying the business model that is going to be the most beneficial to them. I mean, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made, and hard decisions. There's a lot of producers that would like to produce a certain way, and they might not be able to because it just doesn't fit in their business model. And at the end of the day, you got to feed your family and your community. And so there's some very hard decisions in agriculture that need to be made.
What, Brian, are some of the challenges of doing a program like this? Are you running into any challenges here?
Yeah, that's probably could be one of the themes of the program, actually. you know, any time that you introduce something that's unconventional or non-traditional to an institution that, I mean, Cal Poly is heavily rooted in a long history of over 100 years of offering traditional bachelor's degrees and master's degrees. Right. So when you come in and say that you're going to run something that serves non-traditional students, they're not pursuing a degree there. There's this offsite element, and it just there's an adventure in these kinds of things, but it gives me a great deal of career fulfillment. I've worked at Cal Poly for almost 20 years. Very proud to work there. It's a great place, and one of the things that I'm most passionate about is making sure that Cal Poly is rooted in its community and is doing everything it can to support the community. And we have very passionate faculty and staff who want to do that and be part of that. And so, yeah, there were some obstacles along the way in terms of getting the support and getting everything mapped out. Not to mention creating a market for something that's brand new.
Done anywhere else?
You know, the closest representation that we were looking at is down south. Cal Poly Pomona has a program of some similarity to this that has a tradition with it, and we drew some from that to mm-hmm. see how they were doing it, and we're proud of their success. And in fact, my counterpart there at Cal Poly Pomona, I spoke to him very early in the process and said, hey, I have an idea of doing something that is somewhat similar. Are you okay with that? And you know, true to the community of university folks, he was like, that's great, because they're serving a very large military community down near Camp Pendleton and 29 right. Palms. We have a very different community here in the Central Coast that is relatively underserved. And so, but then we made it our own as well, because Cal Poly has its own traditions and its own curricula and its own programs. And so, we're excited about what's become, and especially thrilled to start meeting the applicants and think about how this is going to impact their lives.
What do you still need in terms of support? You've had a lot of support, but for instance, Bill called in and said, you know, I'm a veteran and I have a farm and I'm getting older, and I would love to be able to have someone stay here, help me on my farm. They can immerse here. And what else is needed?
Yeah, I think if you think about our phone calls represent the support. So you had some applicants or prospective
right.
students. So part of it is if anyone themselves or they know someone who is at a stage of life or in a situation of life where this might be of interest, is to go to feed.calpoly.edu, which is the website and has all the info you need. And then on the other side of it are folks like Bill who have said that I'm that. You mentioned the statistics about a farm,
right.
you know,
I'm that
family
over
farm
55.
Owners. I'm
yeah.
one of them, and someone would be welcome to come. And Bill clearly recognizes that there's going to be a need of time of mentorship and support
yeah.
to get that person up to speed. So it's really those are the two key components, I would say, is if folks know interested applicants, number one, because even though we're close to running this first cohort, our hope is that this is an ongoing program with several cohorts a year. And then the other is folks who want to support, I would say, on the post program part of it, which is the incubation farm or the homestay, as you mentioned, if somebody's
right.
willing to have somebody stay there. Those are probably the two key areas. Of course, I've mentioned several times the anonymous donor that provided funds for scholarships. We certainly would be delighted for that, but
yeah,
I don't want to be presumptuous
that. It's always worthwhile. This is a really giving community, and I think for something like this too, it's not only just giving to an individual, because we're talking about farming here and continuing farming, and farming is about eating as well and providing sustenance. So it's about giving back to the community is a much larger thing. So if somebody wanted to make a donation towards, say, someone like Gina, who has an interest in going through school but may not be able to come up with $6,000 and not work during an immersion period of 12 weeks, that would be great to have somebody be willing to do that.
That's exactly right. This anonymous donor I mentioned was someone who wanted to support this program and that was a mechanism, was a private gift, and we have a mechanism at Cal Poly to recognize that as a tax deductible donation, and then we can have that to offset that the student's cost via a scholarship.
What are some of the myths about or misunderstandings about this program? Not maybe about this program, but about what it's intending to do. Are there some, you know, you mentioned one, which is you can't make a farmer in 12 weeks, but you're not trying to make an experienced farmer in 12 weeks. You're trying to kind of get wheels on the car, and then it's got a lot of other parts to it, right?
Yeah, I would say that's a good one, which is 12 weeks cannot make a farmer, and we would agree with that, but it's a start, and we've been very careful to choose the faculty and the courses that are going to be part of that initial experience. And that's why we're putting so much emphasis on trying to find opportunities for mentorships or internships. So I would say that's one. I would say the other, and this is probably a little more specific to Cal Poly, is that when things run through Cal Poly Extended Education, that maybe it's not part of Cal Poly or anything. Actually, it is. Cal Poly Extended Ed is purposely intended to help reach markets we don't traditionally reach.
Right.
And I'd say the one last thing, and I think Morgan has a few other to address, is that one of the things we've recognized in the workforce, especially in our region in the Central Coast, is that the traditional four-year bachelor's degree is not necessarily the only tool in the toolbox, that when you look at the workforce needs, in fact, there's a ratio nationally that plays out in our region, which is a 7-to-1. There's seven jobs out there that require something beyond a high school degree. There's only two that require a bachelor's degree, and there's only one that requires a master's degree. So when people talk about everyone pursuing a college degree, I mean, I work at Cal Poly, so yes, that's great. And we have no shortage of people pursuing that, and that makes perfect sense because there's a lot that comes with that. But we also have to recognize, for the diversity of the workforce and for California's needs and our region's needs, that there are a fair number of jobs that do not require a bachelor's degree, and that's where we're trying to meet that need.
Okay, and we're close to running out of time here, so unfortunately I need to thank all of you for being here. I want to thank my guests in today's show, Dr. Brian Teege, Vice Provost of International Graduate and Extended Education at Cal Poly, Morgan Boyd with the FEED program, and Eric Boyd with the FEED program at Cal Poly. We encourage you to listen to this show in its entirety, and we will see you next week. Fred Monroe will be your host. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Sorry we ran out of time.